For the karpas, we take a little bit of a vegetable. The idea is we just made kiddush, and the kid is used to, after kiddush, you start the meal. And we want to get him interested, so we're going to do something strange. So Chazal instituted that we take a vegetable, a little bit of a vegetable, dip it in salt water, and eat it. And then we make believe the meal has just happened. And the kid goes, wait a second, I didn't eat anything. What's happening? Why are you suddenly having dips? You didn't eat bread yet. What's going on here? You only have matzah, no bread. The idea is to pique his curiosity. That's the main purpose of the karpas. So we each take a volume of less than a kezias of karpas. And the idea in having less than a kezias is as follows. When we make the blessing of Borei Pri Adama on the karpas, we're supposed to have in mind that it covers the karpas and the maror as well. The maror is either the lettuce or the ground horseradish. That's what our blessing of Borei Pri Adama is going to cover. Now, if we were to eat the volume of a kezias, then before we make a motzi, we'd have to make a bracha achrona, Borei Nefashos, on the karpas, or at least possibly have to make a Borei Nefashos. So in order to avoid that question, we don't eat a kezias. If you eat a kezias, so you're fulfilling the Gra's opinion, the Gra held to eat a kezias. But most Orthodox Jews do not eat a kezias. So we're going to pass around the karpas, our pepper. Each person should take a small piece. We dip it in the salt water. And that's why we washed our hands beforehand without a blessing. We washed our hands without a blessing. That's urchatz. We wash our hands in preparation for dipping in salt water. We could pass around the salt water. Thank you, Danny, for preparing the delicious salt water. Okay, I'm relying on you. We hold it and we make a blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam b'yirei peri ha'adama. Delicious, Danny. To Nama. Now,
Rabbi,
yeah. Sure.
Says, oh, so they can ask, why is it different? But I don't ever hear any reasons to give them.
That's an excellent question, Yehuda. If this were the Seder night, I would say, Yehuda, that was such a good question. Let me explain to you at length. The idea begins like this. We were in Mitzrayim, and there was this evil king named Paro. And he really tried to do us away. He couldn't do it politically, so he tried different concoctions. He tried to get midwives to kill our kids. He tried to put it through slavery. He did all kinds of things, and he was very vicious. I mean, he slaughtered Jewish children to bathe in their blood. He made parents take their children and give them over to him. He had his police force go out and gather Jewish babies. He had, if a Jew wouldn't live up to his quota of making mortar, you see this, like this? So they mix the mortar, just like you see this charoses. And if they didn't live up to the quota, so then, and then we take some wine. Can you pass me the wine? He take their Jewish baby and put him in the mortar and say, okay, tomorrow you'll live up to the quota because otherwise I take another Jewish baby and put him in. And that's why we put wine in our charoses to commemorate the fact that the Jews actually mixed the mortar and saw the blood of their children swirling in the mortar they had to mix. Now, do you begin to understand the answer that we're giving the kid? Meaning, we're working our way. He's asked the question. We're going to get back to that question. It's a very good question. But we're making it a long route to get back to that question. And the long route is going to, now that he's interested, he's initiated the conversation, so then I could take the long route and answer him. And if you'll attend our Seder Bezrat Hashem, which you will this year, so you'll see that I do all kinds of funny things to get my son to ask questions. And once he asks questions, that's how we go. Now, it's important, the halacha says, to have things that make the Yom Tov pleasurable. So for men, that's usually assumed that they like good meat and wine. And for women, it's usually assumed that they like jewelry and nice dresses. So a person has a mitzvah to buy his wife a nice new dress or nice jewelry for the Yom Tov. And for children, it's assumed that they like sweets and special food. So we're supposed to buy special food. Those of you, no one here was at our Seder last year. Were you at our Seder last year?
Yeah.
You remember what I had last year?
Yeah, nuts.
Nuts, walnuts. The only time a year I make sure I don't buy walnuts all year long, not in their shell. I buy walnuts like regular walnuts. But our kids only get walnuts in the shell Seder night. That's special for the Seder, nuts in the shell. And anything can be special if you only portray it as such. So when my son asks a question, I get all excited. Wow, that's a great question. Kol hakavod. Wow, you know what I have for you? And I run to the closet and I pull out. I make a whole to-do. And I say, I bought a very special thing for you this Yom Tov. You know, my father, when I used to ask good questions, he used to give it to me. And I give him a walnut. And he goes dancing all around the bed and all around the house. He got so excited by the walnuts last year that a month ago he asked my wife a question on the parsha. And my wife said, gee, that's a great question. Why don't you ask your father? She said, it's a good question. I'm saving it for the Seder. I want a walnut. We were both surprised. He remembered. So you see, the effect worked. That's the idea. Chazal wanted the kid involved, make things that are exciting for him, and then he's going to get involved. So what we're going to do now, and this brings out the child in everyone, you'll see it our Seder, is we take the middle matzah and we break it. And this is called yachatz, which literally means breaking. And just like a poor man who doesn't know if he'll have food tomorrow, he doesn't eat all his food in one day. He takes the bigger part of the food and he puts it away in a bag to make sure he'll have it for tomorrow. So do we take the bigger matzah and put it away, and that's going to be the apikoman, this bigger matzah. And I tell my son, and by now he's already trained by all his friends, this matzah is so precious to me. This matzah is the most precious thing for me tonight. You know, if someone would happen to steal it from me tonight, I'd give him a toy or whatever he asked for just to get it back. So I hope no one steals the matzah from me tonight. And I put it in a special bag. And then my wife starts plotting with him how they're going to steal the afikoma. And the rest of the Seder is a game between me and him, where we're having the Seder, but at the same time, he's keeping his eye on the afikoma. And I have a fake bag, I have a dummy bag, and all kinds of things to keep him excited. He's with it. And of course, every so often, I'm going to leave it there, and he's going to sneak up and try to grab it. And what do you want? All right, I'm with you. Suddenly, I'll take the matzo away. And the idea is, we're passing on to the child in a very subtle way that this matzo is precious. This is very important, this matzah afikoma. And the idea is that this is the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is, the matzah represents what we ate when we were in slavery. And the matzah also represents the matzah of freedom. We were in a rush when we left Mitzrayim. We ate matzah as slaves in Mitzrayim. And when we rushed out of Mitzrayim and we didn't have time to make any decent bread, so the bread that we had was also matzah. So both concepts are in the matzah. Matzah symbolizes avdut and matzah symbolizes chirut. And now I take my yachatz, my afikoman matzah, and I put it away. And now that we have broken matzah before us, we can begin the magid part, the recounting part, which is the next biblical mitzvah of the night, to tell over about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it begins by telling the child about this broken matzah. Why is it that we actually are going to eat broken matzah? Avdut is slavery. Throughout Shabbos, we're always careful. Don't pick off a piece of the challah before we make amotzi. I'm always fighting with my kids. Wait. Don't pluck off pieces. My kids like plucking off pieces. You guys know, right? They're always fighting who gets the nose. So we always tell them, before the meal, don't pluck off the nose. At the meal, you'll get the nose. But tonight, suddenly, hey, we broke the matzah and we didn't make amotzi. What's happening? So, we begin. If you had a question, yes?
Regarding the stealing, some say that it's not educational for the kids to
it's difficult to say.
Control it so that you keep it in a safe place. They know where the place where you need it.
I don't let them know. No, sometimes it's in the pillowcase. Sometimes it's under the tablecloth.
But it's only in the area of the table.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't. I think that people sometimes go too far. They start hiding it all around the house, and then the whole Seder becomes the focus of a game instead of an educational tool. The focus becomes the afikoman, which I think is wrong. It's taking things out of proportion. That's not the idea.
So it's in there.
People used to know
we're supposed to be parents. The kids are supposed to be kids. We're supposed to be parents. So we're supposed to do this educationally.
My parents told me the grandparents never wanted them to steal it.
Right? There are generations that way. And if we're already talking about the afikoman, so I think that it is proper to have the afikoman something educational. If your child is asking for a bike, okay. But if you could get your child by your wife, or his older siblings, to want a set of machzorim for afikoman, or a siddur, or a chumish, that's positive. It's nice to encourage the kid that those are going to be his desires, but there's nothing wrong if a child asks for a bike, that's perfectly normal. But some parents have this custom, they say, he who stole it, he gets the afikoman. And I don't think that's such a nice thing. I'd rather you give a cheaper afikoman and give each kid an afikoman, then create jealousy between the kids and fighting at the night of the Seder, who's going to get to steal the Afikoman? I know that earlier generations did this a lot. I don't think it's a good way to go. I think it's better that all the children get the Afikoman. They all bargain together what they each want for the Afikoman within reason. I mean, you're not their slave. If they're not going to give the Afikoman unless they give you something, unless you give them something that's beyond your reach or you don't feel they should have, so take another matzah. The Afikoman isn't going to be big enough for everyone at the Seder anyways. Look at this piece of matzah. Everyone has to get a kazayas. It's not enough. We supplement with other matzahs anyways. Everyone around the table doesn't get to eat. Everyone gets a little piece from this matzah. And their primary kazayas of Afikoman is a different matzah. So it's not critical. If the kid's going to drive you crazy, so you say, buddy, keep your Afikoman. I'm okay. He doesn't have you over the barrel. We play the game as though he has us over a barrel. But if he's going to be ridiculous, so he does not have you over a barrel. Yes. I can tell you there were years where I hid the Afikoman and forgot where I hid it as a kid.
My house adopted, and my cousin's adopted.
Oh, I keep a piece of matzah from your Seder.
Ah,
you tell me, give me.
Kids, which one finds the
whoever gets it.
I
fight them both, and I try to make it a combined effort. They should both get it. And my wife helps. I mean, we work it out together. She tells me when I've gone too far, when I should give in. I wait for my wife's signal. I let her gauge. She knows what the kids are saying. Okay, so we. Yeah.
What's the origin of this word, the Afikoman?
Afikoman literally is afikumane. Take out the dishes that at the end of the meal people would go to one another's houses to have coffee together, to party after the meal. So they take their own dishes. They bring their own coffee pot or they bring their own dessert. Right. Afikoman became to mean dessert because it was literally take out the dishes to go to the neighbor's house.
Greece, yes. It's a Greece.
Yeah. So we don't have Afikoman. We don't have dessert in this night. We say, this is our Afikoman. This is our dessert. Tonight we sit with the kids. We don't leave them to go to the neighbor's for coffee. Tonight we stay home and talk to the kids. Every other night you might get out of it. On tonight, any question he has, you got to sit there and answer him.
It's Greek. It's not Greek.
I think it's Greek. I think it's good. Okay. Halachmania. So we pick up the broken matzah and we say, this bread of affliction, halachmania, diachalu avatana bar de Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Egypt when they were still being afflicted, so the Egyptians would rush them. They didn't have time to eat normal bread. This is what they ate. It would give them indigestion. It was a good way to ensure they didn't spend too much time in the bathroom. They'd be constipated. It was something quick to make. So the Egyptians made sure this is what they ate. Kol dichfin, whoever's hungry, yete, come, v'yechol, and eat. Kol ditzrich, whoever needs to join us for the Seder, yete, let him come, v'yifsach, and join us for the Seder. Now we're not like we were in Egypt. There we were eating as poor men. Now look at all the wealth. Look at how much wine we have. Look at all the gold vessels. Everyone here has a gold goblet. Baruch Hashem. Everyone has a beautiful plate. We have a beautiful house. So this year, we're not slaves. Hashata this year, hacha, we're here. We're not yet back in the built Israel. But next year, Baradi Israel, we should be in the land of Israel. Hashata Avdei, this year we're still enslaved. Lishana Bab Nechorin, but next year we should be free men. And at this point, what they used to do in Chazal's time is they take away the table. The meal was over. In our time, so what we do is we cover the Seder plate. So the idea is to get the kid asking, wait a second, we didn't eat anything. What do you mean the meal's over? So if you just say, well, and the kid says, oh, Dad, my Agatha says, now you got to cover the matzah. So then you cover the matzah, you didn't do anything. So what we do in my house is we do something like this. Thank you, everything was yummy. Who wants to help clear the table? Guys, Yishukach, it was a beautiful meal, thank you. And then the kid says, listen, what do you mean? What beautiful meal? We didn't eat anything. Ah, good question. Now you're talking. Now we got a question, now we can start. That's the idea. That's what Chazal wanted. That was the idea of covering the matzah. The idea of covering the matzah is instead of, in their days, they used to remove the table at the end of the meal, so we cover everything up as though it's over. But we all know that in our day and age, covering it means nothing. It's just one more ritual. We read in our Agadah and we have no idea what we're doing. So let's make it real. Let's do what Chazal wanted us to do. Let's make believe the meal's over, which is what we do. Now, I let the cat out of the bag, Yehuda. So you'll be quiet when I...
Will the kids eventually catch on?
Eventually, but you'd be surprised. Guys come to my Seder year after year and they fall for it. So it's okay. And those are adults. Eventually the kids will catch on. So you're right. Even my son last year was, Abba, you're not serious. So it's okay. You don't have to help. I'm clearing off the table alone. It's fine. Like I play until he fell for it. I played along a little bit. What? Yeah, if he doesn't fall for it, he doesn't fall for it. This is what Chazal instituted. And now we've finished doing the unusual things to pique his curiosity, because now we are entering the Magid. Now we're going to talk. So we wanted him to get involved until here, and once we've finished doing the unusual things, so the kid is supposed to ask the Manishtana, and customarily we all sing the Manishtana together, just like the whole Agada we say together. So we'll sing it together now. Yeah. Everything should be said the way people understand it. My Seder, I read the Hebrew and then translate into English. You have to understand what you're talking about. The whole Agada I translate. Everything I say. That's why I don't go for Vetelach. I don't say all these deep, fancy pshat. And I say pshat. And believe me, that we barely make it. You're supposed to finish the whole meal and the halel and the fourth cup of wine before midnight. And we have a very hard time doing that in my house. And I don't add anything. And I don't let anyone else add anything. When people want to say just all kinds of Divrei Torah, I say wait for after the fourth cup. Tell me whatever you want. Right now, pshat. You have a question, ask whatever you want. You want to just share with us a nice thought? Share it with us during the meal. Because it's hard enough just to explain what we're reading. It's hard enough. It takes us 2 hours.
Whatever the kids are.
The kids and everyone who's present. Whoever's there.
I mean, if the kids have total freedom to ask
them. So long as it's on topic. If he's going to ask me, why didn't we do Kiddush Levana tonight, I'll tell him we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. Man nishtana ha-layla ha-ze mikol ha-leilot, mikol ha-leilot, shebechol ha-leilot, anu ochlin chametzu matzah, chametzu matzah, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Shebechol ha-lilot, anu achlim she'al yerakot. She'ar yerakot, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, ma'aroh, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, ma'aroh, shebechol ha-lilot, enanu matbilin, afilu pam echad, afilu pam echad, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amim, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amim. שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים בין יושבים ובין מסובים בין יושבים ובין מסובים הלילה זה הלילה זה כולנו מסובים הלילה זה הלילה זה כולנו Mesubim. So, now, technically, we should really continue the whole Agada the way we did previous years and spend the next 3 hours learning the Agada. But we're technically out of time. So let's skip forward to the meal because the rest of the Agada you guys could learn. Now, all the halachot that you need to know are in this pamphlet that we made a copy for each of you. Even regarding the measurements and how much it comes out, but you have to read it. So take the time to read it. I distilled what? I want to do the Agadah, but we're out of time. So we've been going through the Agadah. Do you guys want to do this next week if we have a continuation of the Maral Seder? Maybe Tuesday or Wednesday night?
I don't know. Yeah. When's Pesach?
So Pesach is the following week.
Probably I will not have time.
Okay. So You could catch it online. You could catch it. The Machon Meir recorded it live, a video. We have people all over the world leading Siddurim. I got emails from Poland and from Atlanta and from places all over the world. People who lead the Seder, view our Seder here, our model Seder. And last year's model Seder, and the year before that's model Seder. And based on that, we went through the whole thing last year and the year before that. So you have two model Seders on TorahForMe.org and also on Machon Meir's website. You could view it. It doesn't equal the experience. I would like us to take now 10 minutes just to go through what we do at the Seder and actually do it. You guys should taste the karpas, taste the maror. Some have a custom not to eat matzah at this point. My custom is not to eat matzah from Purim onward. Others have the custom not to eat matzah from tomorrow onward. Others have the custom not to eat matzah just the eve of Pesach, which is what it says in the Talmud. In the Halacha, it technically says, Erev Pesach, you don't eat matzah. You want to come into Pesach, and the matzah should have a special flavor. But my custom is not to eat matzah from Purim onward, so I can't join in the matzah. But I would like us to reenact what we do at the Seder. So at this point, let's give out the sheets, and you guys will read it together to understand what we're doing.